And the choicest blessings of Allah Ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to continuously shower His blessings upon us and give us the tawfiq of recognizing and acknowledging and then rendering thanks and gratitude for these blessings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that whoever makes shukr and expresses gratitude, then such a person, Allah will increase him in his blessings. And the best way of showing shukr is one is to appreciate with the heart, one is to use it sparingly, correctly, not to use the blessings of Allah extravagantly and wastefully, and most importantly, to ensure that we do not use it in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also increase us. Respected friends and brothers, in a previous talk, with regard to Hajj, and with regard to the days of Hajj, we mentioned that Hajj is performed at a specific place. And those places that Allah ta'ala has earmarked for the ritual for Hajj to be carried out are indeed very, very blessed and very holy and sacred. And there is great amount of benefit for people who visit these places. Whether we go for a Hajj or whether we go for a Umrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that continuously going there will be the cause of washing away your sins. And number two, it will drive away poverty. A person inshallah will enjoy, the blessings of Allah Ta'ala in terms of his material needs. So both these things are placed there. But the condition is this, that we give those places their due regard and their due respect and appreciation. So that was what the talk was about. We don't go there and end up doing something in a manner that we showing disrespect, because whatever we're going to do that is going to be negative, we are going to come back with negative effects. Whether it is a sin or whether it's any other action for that matter, it must not be something where we have violated the sanctity of that particular place. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I would rather prefer to perform or commit or to carry out or do 70 sins at Ruqiyah. Ruqiyah is a place way out of Makkah, than performing or committing one sin in Makkah itself. Because the effect of one sin in Makkah is also inflated and magnified. And the effect of that obviously then is also going to have negative consequences on whatever it might be. Therefore, we go there with the greatest amount of respect. The second thing, my respected friends and brothers, which we'll talk about today, is that when we are going specifically for Hajj, and even for Umrah. Umrah, we must remember, is also a small Hajj. It is called Al-Hajj Al-Asghar. And Hajj is the main one. Al-Hajj Al-Akbar refers to the big Hajj. A lot of people say Hajj Akbar is the Hajj which falls on a Friday. That term, we don't know where it came from. Every Hajj, every year, is Al-Hajj Al-Akbar, whether it's on a Tuesday or whether it's on a Sunday. It makes no difference. It's Al-Hajj Al-Akbar, the greater Hajj. And the lesser Hajj is Al-Hajj Al-Asghar, which is referred to as the Umrah. And both these acts, whether we go for Hajj and for Umrah, and mashallah, people are going on a regular basis. We must keep in mind the respect of the place, and also that when we are there, there are certain things we must keep in mind. So the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ, that the people, it is obligatory on them to carry out the Hajj for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ حَجَّ لِلَّهِ, he who makes Hajj for Allah. So all actions and all ibadat are supposed to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make salah, for example, also there is reference in the Quran al-Kareem that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, make salah for your Rabb. And if you look at spending in the path of Allah, there also there is a verse Allah says, يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ مُبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, those who spend their wealth seeking the pleasure of Allah. And in every aspect, in every ibadah that we carry out, we must make sure it is for sincere, it's with sincere intention. It is so that Allah is pleased, Allah Ta'ala acknowledges our deed, and Allah Ta'ala rewards us accordingly. It's only for Allah. There must be no motive, there must be no personal interest, there must be no name, there must be no fame, there must be no other agenda as such. So the same with Hajj. Ayat of the Quran as well as the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, when we have the opportunity, whether we're going for Umrah or whether we are going for Hajj, keep focus. I'm going for Allah. I'm going for Allah. It is a command of Allah. I'm going to please Allah. I'm going to get benefit from Allah. So all the time Allah is in front of us, and this walillah will come about inshaAllah. Because Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned, people's intentions will become tainted closer to Qiyamah. We hear the famous hadith that those are, that are in the upper class, in whichever way upper class could mean the rulers or those who are possessors of a great amount of wealth, they will go and perform Hajj for the reasons of a holiday and relaxation. And those people who have been for Hajj have seen how some of these upper class people, they come and they got this thing called special, and there's even more special services. And you find, we've seen pictures of how the tents in Mina and wherever else it might be, and the top hotels that they are living in, whatever it might be. One is a hotel that you have got to stay because you've got no choice, but these people choose the best, and they are DSTV in their tent in Mina, and there is couches there, and every other thing, real chill out joint, as we would say. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that's what some people are going, that class of people will make Hajj for. In other words, the niyyah is just to go and relax. Then he says the others that are in the lower class, the medium or the middle class, will perform Hajj for commercial purposes. So where they will go, they will see how they can score in terms of material benefit in whichever way it might be. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the scholars, the ulama, they will go for Hajj and Hajj and Hajj and Hajj to notch up, you know, a record of, I have made so many Hajj. I'm Haji squared 25 times already. Alim, ulama are going to do that. And Allah protect all of us. And then the poor, the low class, the beggars in terms, low in terms of financial, are going to go for begging purposes. So this is a hadith that shows that niyyah can become tainted, and if people are not careful, they might not make Hajj for the correct reason. Now, if you don't make Hajj for the, with the proper intention and with the proper spirit and all the rest of that, the danger, my respected friends and brothers, is it will be just another trip overseas and another place that we have seen. And we can also say, I have made Hajj, like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says regarding fasting. He says, when a person is in a state of fasting, sometimes he acquires nothing but hunger. Because in fasting, he still flouted all the rules of fasting. He wasn't cared how he was speaking, what he was saying, making ghibat, where he was looking, how he was swearing, how he was cheating, whatever. He stayed away from food, so he stayed hungry. So then it is just a form, outward form of an ibadat. And no ibadat of ours, my brothers. This is not only for Hajj. Should just be a form, a skeleton. It must be one that is filled with ruh and spirituality. One that elevates us. One that brings us closer to Allah. One that makes us love Allah. And makes Allah love us even more, my respected friends and brothers. Every ibadat, we come in the masjid, we go out from here. We must go out from here spiritually charged and on a much better level spiritually than what we had come in. So that is what this lesson of Hajj is all about, that we should keep in mind. And once we make that Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you come back with a proper intention. You come back as the day your mother has given birth to you. رَجَعَكَ يَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْ وَأُمُّهُ. That means totally clean. Totally clean, like we mentioned in the previous talk, all sins. Normally we say, you know, this sins, you do a certain action, your sins are forgiven. Ulama say these are small sins. But when it comes to Hajj, then it covers every kind of sin, not just minor, but all sins are cleansed. That's why once a group of people came from Iraq or somewhere, and they got off their camels, and they made tawaf, and then they made Safa, Marwa, Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who is watching them, And after when they were finished, he saw how they were carrying it out. He says, why have people come here? They say, we've come here to perform Hajj. He said, any other reason? They said, no other reason. He said, maybe to meet someone here, maybe to claim some inheritance, or maybe for some other material purpose, whatever reason you may have come here for. They said, no, we only came here for Allah. He says, so now when you go back, you must start your deeds anew. That means you have now got a clean slate and a clean page. Now you go back and you start, and you have a new relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what the spirit of Hajj is supposed to be. And how do we acquire that Hajj? This Hajj that we come back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man hajja lillah. Whoever makes Hajj, one, with sincerity for Allah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions three things, which are also mentioned in the ayat of the Quran that we have recited. فَلَمْ يَرْفَثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَ كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ. He stays away from rafath and fusuq. And the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rafath, fusuq, and jidal. Three things. When you are in Hajj, you stay away from these three things. Then you would have acquired that Hajj that you are totally purified. There's nothing better, my brothers, than this, that when we finish Arafat and when we go to Muzdalifah, we are walking out of Arafat or driving out of Arafat totally free of all the burdens of sin. We have dropped the last sin that we have committed, which we did not even know about, dumped it back in Arafat, and we have moved on. There isn't a better feeling than this. We're pure, we are clean, we are walis, we are friends of Allah. Allah loves us, and at that time we are as pure as a baby that is born, subhanAllah. But my respected friends and brothers, that will come with some conditions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you go for Hajj, upon whom the Hajj is for us, فَلَا رَفَثَ. He must not commit rafath. Now what is the word rafath? Ra, fa, tha. What does it mean? It's got two basic meanings. The more specific meaning is in relation to a person's private communication and intimacy with his partner. Which means that when a person is in a state of ihram and in a state of Hajj, up to the point where he performs his tawaf ziyarah, for example, then at that time he must not resort to any of those aspects where he is communicating or having any other kind of contact with his partner, halal partner. Even that is not permissible. Like, you know, in fasting, in Roza, when we are fasting, we stay away from three things. One of them is all types of sexual relations are also haram. So in this particular aspect, rafath means that the halal communication and halal interaction, whether it is in terms of speech, husband and wife maybe have got some, you know, codes of their own, or in terms of gesture, and more than that, in terms of physical, nothing is allowed. But beyond that, it also has got another meaning, and that refers to obscene speech. That means people have got bad speech when they talk normally. They just can't help but to bring in the third or every fourth word, A, F, B, C, whatever letter of the swear word is there, you know, F and D, whatever it is. They must bring it in. People cannot resist. They try and add spice and color to their speech. But many times they don't realize how hurtful it is to the ears of those people who are not used to this type of language. And it's going right through to our children also. And they pick it up from what the elders are doing. They will use those words easily. So that is when you are not in Hajj also, you don't use it. But when you are in Hajj, then every kind of obscene speech that has got to do with the tongue must be totally cut out. So ghibat, running people down, condemning, whatever else it might be. So these are the two meanings of rafath. So when a person is on Hajj, then he is lost in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even his halal communication with his halal partner is out. The message and the lesson of Hajj is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Hajj is. When we go for Umrah, it is the same thing. Like I said, Umrah is a lesser form of Hajj. So that is the first thing to keep in mind. Then, my respected brothers, the second thing Allah says, Fusuq. And he does not commit any kind of evil act, which covers all the prohibitions. When we are there, we must be so careful with regard to not breaking a single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, missing salah, or cheating while we are there, doing whatever else we're not supposed to do, all haram actions, all are out. Fusuq too. And the third thing is, Allah says jidal. Jidal means, you know, getting into arguments, quarreling, disputing, fighting, because these are things that are very likely to happen there. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said the same thing, that if you can stay away from these things when you make hajj, then you will definitely be awarded with al-hajjul mabrur. Now we must take note of something here. It is not mentioned, you know, that if you go for hajj and you make 70 tawafs and you do a whole lot of other things there in terms of hajj rituals, then you will get al-hajjul mabrur. Three things, my respected friends and brothers. Abstain from rafath, obscenity. Abstain from haram actions. And abstain from argumentation and quarreling and disputes. These are the three things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention. And remember that somebody might ask the question, what is the relation of these three prohibitions to hajj? It is not only for hajj, even when we are here. But if you can do it there, we must remember it is a very great challenge at that point in time. Because a person has to abstain from a lot of things. And you are on journey at that time. And there are people from different countries, different languages, different backgrounds and lifestyles, all, you know, intermingling with each other. And each one doing his own thing. And somebody sometimes crossing our way and doing things that might irritate and might inconvenience us. But in all of that, we don't say anything, you know. Obscene language at that time, sometime in Tawaf also. People, they say some serious things when they get pushed around here. Making Tawaf, but what just language is just used. Or anywhere else, any other haram act for that matter. Keeping the gaze low. It is so important. One person is sitting and looking. I think I made mention of this also before. That all these, mashallah, is telling one alim, look at these Malaysian women. You know, they come all dressed in one uniform. They look like kabutar ki tarah malum hote hai. It looks like pigeons all. I just say, you're making haram zina with your eyes. How can you say that? See, just keep your gaze low. So poor fellow didn't even realize where he got carried away. So all these things are counted in there. And that is what we have to keep in mind. So when we are on the journey, my respected friends and brothers, to abstain from these things. So somebody asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he says, Al-hajjul mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. Hajj mabrur, maqbool, accepted, uprighteous, pious hajj is one. There is nothing for it but Jannah. The same, you get Jannah and you are purified. So the people asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what is it? How do you get this particular hajj? What does it entail? So he mentioned these three things. These two things. Rafath and fusuq, you abstain from it. And then he also mentioned that the beauty and the essence of hajj is this. And let us listen carefully what it is. He says in one narration, Linul kalam, that you talk gently and politely with your fellow hajjis. From the airport, in the plane, in the bus, in different places, and the different people we meet. At some point, somebody is going to work on our nerves. Those police, they also don't make our life easy many times, because many of us don't make their life easy. Just sit anywhere, or whatever, the way they might handle us, or whatever it might be, they have to do their job. And we have to restrain ourselves. So he says, Linul kalam. Number two, he says, Ifsha'u salam. Make salam a common thing amongst yourself when you are in hajj. How seriously are we doing that? When the person comes and sits next to us, we greet him. Nowadays, the tents and the whole, okay, it's for logistical purposes. This camp for the South Africans, and that one for the Nigerians, and that one for the Iraqis, and that one for the Pakistanis. But besides, they are being in the camps. When we are mixing with these people in the haram, on the roads, how much of salam are we making? How much of interaction? This is the greatest, most united front of the ummah ever to be found on the face of the earth once a year. And at that time, if we're going to keep ourselves cut off, it is wrong. You don't have to do anything else. Just make salam. And the third thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that it'amu ta'am, to feed in hajj, to feed the people. Now, obviously, we have to find avenues how to do that. There are a lot of hujjaj who are living on the very far parts, for example, of Makkah. They come and they stay the whole year. Can buy something and give it to them. It is part of al-hajjul mabrur. If you haven't done it, you must do it at the time of Umrah. And you must not say that these people have brought it on themselves. They want to live here like this. So why must we give them food? But leave all of that. Think of this here. This is my opportunity. So hajj, my respected friends and brothers, is this journey where we forget ourselves, we forget our own you know, passions, we forget our own egos. We are basically lost in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rituals and the rites of Hajj are also one of a person who is totally annihilated and lost. He's not care about his clothes. That's why we don't wear normal clothes. We wear ihram, his hair, no perfume, no surma, no anything. We are just like people that are madly in love and looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the essence of Hajj is. It is about being lost in this life in the love of Allah. It is about dying before dying. It is about annihilating ourselves. When we don't annihilate ourselves, then our nafs takes over. And then we do everything for our nafs. We don't do it for Allah. So my respected friends and brothers, the lesson of Hajj is that you are learning to annihilate yourself in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The two ihram sheets that we wear, it is a symbol of the kafan. When we go in the qabr, that kafan, what happens to it after a while? That kafan is reduced to nothing. Even the body is reduced to nothing. That's why our qabr, our kafan, all supposed to be left like annihilated. We have advised, and our ulama have advised, repeated, don't make your qabr. You see, it's happening, you also don't make it, what you say, pakka qabr, don't make it a construction, don't build a wall around it. People have got a good excuse, they say, for erosion. There are other ways we can overcome the erosion. But the idea is that get lost in life and get lost in death and annihilate yourself in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In life also be lost. How did the awliya come about? How did the friends of Allah come about? Nothing bothers them. They are so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected friends and brothers, don't cause any difficulty when you go for Hajj. Inconvenience. You know, we find those adventure Hajjis, we call them. Adventure Hajjis want to go and kiss the Hajri Aswad. Because you know what? When we come out, I kiss the Hajri, I got it right, I pushed that fellow this way. And mashallah, you kiss the Hajri Aswad at what expense? You were supposed to speak softly to the people, you were supposed to show kindness to the people, you were supposed to make salam. The ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there, but today to go near the Hajri Aswad, if you basically have written out your will, then you maybe even take a chance there, we know what happens there. But we don't go, and kiss the Hajri Aswad if you are going to cause inconvenience to other people. And they come out from there and they are boasting, I went and I did it like that and I did whatever it might be, at the expense of causing so much of inconvenience to other people. That is not what the spirit of Hajj is. So we keep these things in mind, and then when a person comes back, then he has acquired Al-Hajjul Mabroor, laysa lahu jazaun illa Jannah, the reward for it is nothing but Jannah. May Allah give us tawfiq.